Well, you'll see the Bible reading, which is printed out there for you inside the order of service that we're going to be looking at today. Can't begin to do justice to all 21 verses in a short time, but we'll look at least one or two thoughts from this passage in a moment. But let's read it together. It's entitled, Jesus Teaches Nicodemus. Now there was a Pharisee, a man named Nicodemus, who was a member of the Jewish ruling council. He came to Jesus at night and said, Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher who has come from God, for no one could perform the signs you are doing if God were not with him. Jesus replied, Very truly I tell you, no one can see the kingdom of God unless they are born again. How can someone be born when they are old? Nicodemus asked. Surely they cannot enter a second time into their mother's womb to be born. Jesus answered, Very truly I tell you, no one can enter the kingdom of God unless they are born of water and the Spirit. Flesh gives birth to flesh, but the Spirit gives birth to spirit. You should not be surprised at my saying, you must be born again. The wind blows wherever it pleases. You hear its sound, but you cannot tell where it comes from or where it is going. So it is with everyone born of the Spirit. How can this be? Nicodemus asked. You are Israel's teacher, said Jesus, and do you not understand these things? Very truly I tell you, we speak of what we know and we testify to what we have seen, but still you people do not accept our testimony. I have spoken to you of earthly things, and you do not believe. How then will you believe if I speak of heavenly things? No one has ever gone into heaven except the one who came from heaven, the Son of Man. Just as Moses lifted up the snake in the wilderness, so the Son of Man must be lifted up, that everyone who believes may have eternal life in him. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. Whoever believes in him is not condemned, but whoever does not believe stands condemned already, because they have not believed in the name of God's one and only Son. This is the verdict. Light has come into the world, that people loved darkness instead of light because their deeds were evil. Everyone who does evil hates the light. I will not come into the light for fear that their deeds will be exposed. But whoever lives by the truth comes into the light, so that it may be seen plainly that what they have done has been done in the sight of God. Well, I wonder how well you know the story of Jesus' encounter with Nicodemus. As we've just been reading, he was a Pharisee and a member of the Jewish ruling council called the Sanhedrin. So he was a learned man, and it seems he was genuinely impressed by what Jesus said and did. And he clearly had a serious purpose in seeking Jesus. He recognized that Jesus was a teacher who had come from God. He recognized the stamp of God upon Jesus. No one could perform the miraculous signs you are doing if God were not with him, Nicodemus says to Jesus. And it seems that Nicodemus was keen to find out more about Jesus. They came to him at night because he didn't want the other members of the Jewish council to see him openly approaching Jesus. Nicodemus could hardly have expected the response he got from Jesus. Jesus said in verse 3, "Very truly I tell you, no one can see the kingdom of God unless they are born again." Well, these words must have come like a bolt from the blue to Nicodemus. They'd have been totally unexpected. No doubt, Nicodemus was longing for God's kingdom to come. And he would have assumed that he would have had the right to enjoy the blessings of that kingdom. After all, he was a Jew, and not only a Jew, he was also a loyal Pharisee. But when Jesus spoke about the kingdom of God, it wasn't an earthly realm he had in mind. No, by entering or seeing the kingdom of God, Jesus meant coming under the reign of God, or if you like, the kingship of God. That is, Jesus was saying, self was no longer to be at the center of life. You see, the Pharisees thought that they could become right with God by their own efforts. But Jesus says, no, that is completely wrong. He says there is only one way to see or enter the kingdom of God. That is to make God first in your life. And that is to be born again. Jesus said to Nicodemus, "Very truly I tell you, no one can see the kingdom of God unless they are born again." And Jesus repeats this to Nicodemus at verse 7, where he says, "You should not be surprised at my saying, you must be born again." What does that mean, you must be born again? Well, this is what I would like us to think about this lunchtime. Nicodemus didn't remotely understand. You can tell that from verse 4, where he asked Jesus, "How can someone be born when they're old? Surely they cannot enter a second time into their mother's womb to be born." For all his learning, Nicodemus lacked spiritual insight. He tried to understand Jesus' words about being born again in a strictly literal sense. But Jesus was speaking of a supernatural birth. Now, born again can equally well be translated born from above. That is, Jesus is speaking about his spiritual birth, a birth brought about by the Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit. Yes, we are born a first time from our mother's womb. But only the Spirit of God can bring about the second birth. "Flesh gives birth to flesh," says Jesus. "But the Spirit gives birth to spirit." And Jesus goes on to liken the Spirit to the wind. In verse 8 he says, "The wind blows wherever it pleases. You hear its sound, but you cannot tell where it comes from or where it is going. So it is with everyone born of the Spirit." We cannot see the wind. It's invisible. We only see its effects. When we look out of the window, we don't see the wind. We only see, well, the branches of the trees moving or the leaves blowing around. And the Spirit of God is like the wind, free, powerful, unseen, unpredictable. but its results can be observed. The wind blows wherever it pleases. You hear its sound, but you cannot tell where it comes from or where it is going. So it is with everyone born of the Spirit. And the miracle of new birth, of being born again, cannot be arranged by human ingenuity. Its operation is beyond human control. Only God, by His Spirit, can bring it about. Being born again is all about making a new start. So the posters we came in today says, a fresh start. A fresh start. Or to put it another way, becoming a Christian. Now you will notice in verse 7 that Jesus says to Nicodemus, you must be born again. Must. Why, we might ask? Why is a new start so necessary? Look with me, please, a little further down in our reading to verses 14 and 15. Do you know this story? Verse 14, just as Moses lifted up the snake in the wilderness, so the Son of Man must be lifted up. And the Son of Man was Jesus. And being lifted up, of course we know, is Jesus lifted up on the cross. Just as Moses lifted up the snake in the wilderness, so the Son of Man must be lifted up, that everyone who believes may have eternal life in Him. I wonder if you know the story of Moses being lifted up. Moses lifting up the snake, a bronze snake in the desert or the wilderness. The Israelites were journeying towards the promised land of Canaan. The way was hard and the people became discouraged and impatient. And they spoke out against God and against Moses and said, why have you brought us up out of Egypt to die in the desert? And they complained that there was no bread and no water. And they weren't impressed by the manna that God had faithfully provided. And instead of being thankful for God's loving care and provision, they complained. So we read that God sent venomous snakes, which bit the people, and many Israelites died. The Israelites then came to their senses and said to Moses, and I just read from the book of Numbers to you. The people came to Moses and said, we sinned when we spoke against the Lord and against you. Pray that the Lord will take the snakes away from us. So Moses prayed for the people. And the Lord said to Moses, make a snake and put it up on a pole. Anyone who is bitten can look at it and live. So Moses made a bronze snake and put it up on a pole. And then when anyone who is bitten by a snake looked at the bronze snake, he lived. Well, that's a story from the Old Testament. And now Jesus says to Nicodemus, just as Moses lifted up that bronze snake in the wilderness, so he himself will be lifted up on the cross, that everyone who believes may have eternal life in him. You see, the Israelites of old in the desert and Nicodemus had a problem. And it's the same problem that all human beings have, including us today. And it's the sin problem. And verse 19 of our reading reflects that, where Jesus says, this is the verdict. Light has come into the world, but people love darkness instead of light because their deeds were evil. And that is true of us today, as it was true of Nicodemus, as it was true of the Israelites of old. We love darkness rather than light. We love selfishness and going our own way rather than going God's way. But the great news that the Bible gives us is the news of God's mercy. The mercy that God showed to the Israelites long ago was the snake on the pole. The mercy that God shows us today is Jesus on the cross. God's promise to the Israelites long ago was physical life for looking at the snake on the pole. God's promise to us today is eternal life when we believe in his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. But the people of old had a decision to make. Only those who looked at the snake were cured. And for us today, only those who believe in the Lord Jesus Christ are saved. And if the people of old decided not to look at the snake on the pole, they would die from their snake bites. Likewise, if people today do not believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, they will be eternally separated from God. Not my words, the Bible's words. Or as it says in verse 16, they will perish. Verse 16, a verse that I'm sure many of you know. God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. And verse 17 continues the theme. God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. Well, I said at the start that our theme today is, you must be born again. It is. But it is also, you must be born again. I wonder how many of you have been watching the World Cup over the last month or so. I have, and it's been a great tournament. One of the most striking things, apart from the football, has been the pictures of the statue of Christ the Redeemer towering over Rio de Janeiro. In fact, maybe you saw this last weekend, pictures of the sun setting behind the Christ the Redeemer statue, symbolizing, I guess, the sun setting on the World Cup of 2014. It's absolutely stunning photography. And these pictures from Brazil will have been showed in many, many countries worldwide to millions and millions of people. I've been wondering what impact those pictures will have had. To see the Lord Jesus Christ with his arms outstretched, as it were, over Rio. And commentators were quite frequently making reference to Christ the Redeemer and his statue. I wonder, will people have thought of Christ's love and compassion for men and women as they've seen his arms outstretched there? Or will they have thought of Christ on the cross lifted up, as we've been thinking today? Or will people have been wondering what the word Redeemer means? Well, the word redeem means to free or to rescue or to deliver, often at a cost. And that is exactly what Jesus did for each of us when he was lifted up on the cross of Calvary 2,000 years ago. I would like you to take three thoughts away with you today. There's much more that could be said in that reading, but you've got that order of service to take away with you and read again and again. Three thoughts. Number one, you must be born again. That is, make a fresh start, as the poster says. A spiritual birth, if you like. Secondly, you must be born again. Otherwise, you will not know the eternal life that Jesus came to bring. In fact, as we've just read, you will perish. Thirdly, you must be born again. And now I'm no longer just speaking to the person sitting next to you. I'm speaking to you personally and me personally. Just as Jesus spoke personally to Nicodemus. We don't actually know if Nicodemus made that fresh start, if Nicodemus was born again. He may have become a true follower of Jesus because we read towards the end of John's Gospel that Nicodemus brought a large gift of spices to anoint Jesus' body. We hope indeed that this encounter with Jesus that we've read about today did lead him to be becoming born again. Christmas carols, you know, are full of excellent biblical truth. I'm sure many of us here have sung the carol Hark the Herald Angels Sing hundreds of times. The last verse says this: Hail the heaven-born Prince of Peace, hail the Son of Righteousness, light and life to all he brings, risen with healing in his wings, mild he lays his glory by, born that man no more may die, born to raise the sons of earth, born to give them, can you complete that? Second birth, born to give them second birth. Now that's exactly what we've been talking about today, because that is why Jesus came. He was born to give us the second birth. Well, it's my prayer that this Christmas each of us will know personally what we're singing about when we sing that carol, when we sing about the second birth. You must be born again. You must be born again. You must be born again. Let us pray.